Hierdie inset sal word aan jou gebring deur Radio Kaapse Kansel op 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.kaapsekansel.co.za.
Goeiedag en baie welkom weer eens by die program Markplek Ambassadeurs, die program van CBMC Suid-Afrika. En CBMC is die Christian Business Men's Connection. En die program Markplek Ambassadeurs gaan daaroor dat ons met persone praat wat ambassadeurs is vir Christus, daar waar hulle beweeg, in die werksplek, in hulle families, in hulle bedieninge, en dis ook waarom ek die voorreg het vandag om verder te gesels met Tim Tucker. Tim Tucker is die uitvoerende hoof, of in Engels die CEO van The Message Trust, en hy het vir ons laasweek mooi verduidelik waaroor The Message Trust gaan, en julle kan gerus gaan Google en bietjie gaan kyk, baie interessante en goeie werk wat hulle ook doen. En ek het verlede week met Tim begin gesels oor die boek wat hy geskryf het, en ook die video's reeks wat hy gemaak het op YouTube, genaamd Grief and Grace. En dit gaan oor die verlies wat hy onverwags, ewe skielik, met die Engelse sou gesê het, unexpected, unplanned and sudden. Was daar 'n verlies in sy lewe toe sy vrou onverwags gesterf het op 'n jong ouderdom van 38 en hy alleen met 3 kinders agtergebly het. En hy het vir ons verlede week bietjie begin vertel rondom hierdie, hoe verwerk 'n mens dit? Hoe gaan 'n mens daardeur? And Tim, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, man.
It's so good to see you again. And yeah. I'm glad you came back. And thanks. You didn't leave me after last week's talk.
Good to be here again.
Tim, like everything in life, we as Christians find our guideline in the Bible. Mm-hmm. If we don't measure against the Bible, I mean, what will be our plumb line? Mm-hmm. So I want to go to the Bible and let's look at people in the Bible who also went through mm-hmm. grief. Mm-hmm. And two names or two incidents comes up immediately, and that is the story of Job mm-hmm. and the story of Lazarus and his two sisters, mm-hmm. because they had to also yeah. let him go in a sense. And then, well, leave alone Mary, who had to see her son Jesus crucified. Mm. But let's start with Job. Was there anything that you could learn from his story through this whole thing?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I've you know, when you read the Bible stories, they speak to you. But then when you go through certain experiences, you get a deeper level of understanding. And I think clearly for many people that have been through deep grief, it's just a gift of the Lord to have the story of Job, who I think that the first thing that comes to mind with Job is just the reality of the grief that he experienced. He didn't just go through cliches, and he didn't kind of brush it off and say, "Oh, believers in God don't experience pain." You know, so he went through deep grief, you know, and even questioning, and sitting on the ash heap and just really struggling, because obviously he'd lost so much, you know, of his family members and his wealth and his physical health, and so he was very real in his relationship with the Lord. And I think that is a beautiful thing. I think sometimes as Christians and people who go through grief, there's a reality that people don't know what to say to you, you know. And I think that is a reality, is that we struggle sometimes to find the words to really comfort someone or to stand with them or to feel their pain. And I think a couple of the lessons we learn from Job is sometimes we've just got to allow people to go through the pain and not feel we have to fix it, not feel we have to say the right thing. You know, his counselors who came, you know, the one positive thing they did was sit on the ash heap with him and just grieve with him, and they were silent at first, and it was only really when they opened their mouths that suddenly they weren't that helpful anymore, you know. So I think there's nothing wrong, firstly, in allowing people to really express their grief in deep ways and mourn, and we shouldn't feel threatened by that. The fact that God allowed this book to be in the Bible says that he gives us the space to grieve when we've been through great pain. The second thing is that we need community with us. We talked about that last week, but the community don't need to feel that they have to fix everything. If we are mature in our relationship with God, If we've got a genuine relationship with God, we must trust that God is going to speak and bring his people through, just as he did with Job. So I think that's the other lesson really out of Job. So if I was to sum up in three lessons, clearly, you know, the first one is the space to grieve. The second one is don't, you know, if you are walking with someone who's grieving, don't just try and fix it for them. Just be with them. Allow them to walk through it. But then thirdly, trust God that God will bring the resolution in his time. And we see that with Job. You know, God does bring a resolution. He doesn't answer all of Job's questions. In fact, he answers almost none of Job's questions. What he does is changes his perspective on life and death completely. And so I think sometimes God allows us to go through really difficult circumstances so that A, we learn that he is with us and we're not immune as Christians from the difficult circumstances, but secondly, he wants to give us fresh perspective on life and death and on him. That's the most important thing, so we get a deeper perspective on the Lord. So I think from those were some of the things that really, I think, on reflection of Job's life spoke to me personally in this.
You mentioned talking and listening and support, and I just want to quickly make a comment and then ask you a question around it. I read once that someone said that shared grief is half a grief, but shared joy is double joy. So if you talk about your grief and your whatever is hurting you, then actually it becomes easier with time. Every time you talk about it. And if you are happy about something and you share it with someone, then you become more happy. It multiplies. Did you experience something like that? Or was that utter nonsense?
I've never quite expressed it that way. But look, the Bible tells us to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. I've learned that in any given day, I mean, particularly in this globalized world, you know, I just have to go onto Facebook and there's people I need to mourn with, you know, who are expressing their loss because they've got cancer or they've lost a loved one. And particularly over this past year, it just seems there's been so much expression of grief on Facebook. But then a little bit further down your news feed, you're reading about someone who's had a baby or got engaged or, you know, some wonderful event. So in this globalized world, we are constantly getting these double messages. You know, we're having to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. And again, it should be driving us to the Lord for capacity, for relational capacity, to be able to navigate how we stand alongside one another during the sad times of life, as well as the happy moments of life. But as I express in the book, you know, pain and joy, I say, are two sides of the same coin. We don't necessarily go through life, I'm going to have a year of sadness and then I'm going to have a year of joy. It's actually all mingled up together, which is actually the story of the cross, which drives us back to the cross again, where the cross is the event which was the, on one level you could say, the saddest event in history, particularly for Mary and John watching the cross and so on. But obviously we know for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. So pain and joy meets in the cross. Mourning and rejoicing meet in the cross. And so as followers of Jesus, it shouldn't surprise us that our life is intermingled with pain and joy are going to be intermingled in this fallen life, because they create opportunities for us to again testify to Jesus and what he did himself on the cross.
Tim, I just want to jump back quickly to the question of listening and giving advice and talking. And you mentioned Job's friends, that the moment they opened their mouths, they were almost useless. But while they were listening, they actually helped him. Did you experience in your journey of the last few years that people were willing to sit down and just listen?
I think so. I always advise, you know, choose who you're most vulnerable with carefully. You know, it's sometimes, you know, you get the equal and opposite danger. The one is that you're wearing your heart on your sleeve, so much so that actually you're not being wise in who you're sharing those things with. And the other is that you become a closed book and you don't talk with anyone. So again, as believers, we should be praying about who we open up with. And God brought people into my life who walked the road with me, who did just listen. Not only just the 6 months of deep grief and then the process of kind of, you know, the ongoing process of grief and now, you know, latterly remarriage and, you know, but people have walked that whole road with me, close friends, you know, pastors, and family members. And so it's been critically important that people are listening, often, you know, reflecting back to me the things that I'm saying and helping me again seek the Lord about the decisions I'm going to make. So I think it's absolutely critical that we, again, as believers, we're prayerful about these things, that we don't just, you know, we've got the Holy Spirit within us to guide us to people who can appropriately support us. Yeah.
And now again, you can share your joys also with the same people.
Exactly.
Because you got remarried. You just recently, 6 months ago, a new baby was born.
That's right.
So there's joy again.
Yeah.
And you can share it again with these people, and they can actually celebrate with you.
Yeah.
And see you going also, because that also helps you to obviously, you'll never forget, but to actually work through this grief.
Yeah. And we've got, again, as believers, we have to believe that God redeems pain. He does redeem pain. We don't. I say in the video series, it's not like we put out a welcome mat and say, pain come into my life. That's not the point. The point is we're part of a fallen world. We are going to experience pain, but we serve a God who, since creation, has been in the business of redeeming pain, both on a macro level in the universe, but on a micro level in individual lives.
I want to come back to the Bible. Mm. We started with Job. Let's go to the story of Lazarus, John 11. He had two sisters that we know of, and they grieved because their brother died.
Mm. Mm.
And he was a friend of Jesus, as we could make out from the scriptures. I'm sure when you read that story now, you can actually relate.
Yeah.
But then something happened.
Mm.
They thought Jesus will be in time to heal their brother, but he wasn't.
Mm.
What do you take of that story?
So I think my perspective on that story actually is from Jesus' perspective, because, you know, Jesus doesn't come immediately. And we know that when he does come and he engages with Mary and Martha, we get that, you know, that short verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And of all the people in history, he is the one that could have avoided grief, you know. And I think he probably wept, obviously, for the pain the sisters were going through, wept for humanity. I think he's weeping for humanity because death was never God's plan. You know, this was he's weeping for his friend Lazarus, who has died, you know. But Jesus, he could have arrived on time. So, you know, he could have arrived 3 days earlier, healed Lazarus and avoided the pain. But Jesus enters into our pain. So that's what I got out of that story. Jesus understands our grief because, you know, we serve a God who became man and shared in every way what humanity and the pain and the joys of what it means to be human. And so I was, you know, in rereading that story, I was again struck by the fact that Jesus, you know, isn't, you know, there's sometimes this perspective that when a Christian dies, there's rejoicing in heaven, you know. But when a woman like Laura at 38 years of age was taken from her husband, 3 children, you know, in some ways, I think Jesus actually enters in. I understood Jesus entering into that pain with me and weeping with me. I talk about it as my ally, as someone standing with me in my pain. So the fact that I saw Jesus weep at the sense of loss, at the tragic consequences of death, I think that was an incredibly comforting thought. But again, from a theological perspective, it sets the Christian faith apart, doesn't it? Because it's the kind of the ultimate part of the incarnation, is that God, who could have avoided pain, embraced the pain in order to demonstrate his grace and his love. And so in that instance, you know, he then says, I am the resurrection and the life, and follows that up with the demonstration of his power in raising Lazarus from the dead. And so, you know, I think that it's such a beautiful story when we look at it from that perspective, because I think it helps us, again, have a different perspective on grief and loss, that it's appropriate for us to grieve. It's appropriate for us to cry and be sad. But we also look to ultimate victory and resurrection in Christ, and that's again the hope that we have.
Thanks, Tim. Tim, I'm going to stay with the Bible, and I'm going to go to Psalms.
Mm.
Psalm 23, we all know it very well. Mm. And you explained it so nicely in your video about where was God during that process when your wife got sick, when she passed away. And so easily people can say, but he doesn't love me because he could have prevented this.
Mm. Yeah.
But you got comfort from Psalm 23.
Yeah. And again, it's such a familiar passage of scripture to us. But again, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not just a passage of scripture. It's a lifeline, you know, to say that he is with me, you know, and he is with me in the valley. You know, it was actually a couple of days after Laura passed away. We were still in Georgia at Carmel Guest Farm, and I was stood on the rocks, overlooking on the cliffs, overlooking the ocean. And I was having this conversation with the Lord, and you kind of feel that there's this, you know, there's a little bit of anger there. But I'm like, if I turn God into my enemy, if I'm angry at him now, I actually need him most, you know. And so this was the nature of the psalm for me. It's in him saying, you know, he's not my enemy. And I felt him say to me at that moment as I was grappling with this. And I said to God, I said, I am jealous, though, God, because I knew Laura loved God. Jesus more than she loved me. That's why our marriage worked, you know, because Jesus was first in our marriage. But I said to God, I thought I was going to have 40 or 50 more years with her on earth, you know, so you've taken her early, you know, and so I'm jealous because Laura is with you for all eternity. You're the lover of her soul, and I'm left here not quite sure who I am anymore, you know, as a widower. But God said to me, but I'm not your enemy. In fact, I'm your ally. You know, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am here with you. So let's not stand face to face fighting about this. God wants to stand with me shoulder to shoulder, facing this together each step of the way. And I said, my understanding also of the cross at that moment changed again to say, you know, when Jesus was on the cross and it went dark, I was like, I said to Father, no wonder you switched the lights off when Jesus was on the cross, because he was carrying the punishment of sin and death for all humanity. And so, you know, I actually now understand a bit more of what you were feeling in that moment when you switched the lights off and it went dark because your son was on the cross. It feels like my life has gone dark now. So we have actually a deeper relational connection with the Lord. So again, how can I turn him into my enemy? And if I'm feeling anger, Lord, help me deal with my anger so that, again, we can stand shoulder to shoulder and face this together.
And on that topic of standing shoulder to shoulder, you also need to stand firm.
Yes.
And that is something that you also learned.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is, you know, the ongoing message of the Christian gospel is that being salvation is not a one-time event. Yes, we're born again, and we're born again for all eternity when we come to Jesus as Lord and Savior. However, there's a call constantly in the New Testament to persevere, to endure, that we are going to endure hardship. Jesus himself said that, you know, in this world you will have trouble. It's an emphatic promise. I know we hear it quite a lot, but it's a really emphatic promise. But he says, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And so there's a call to endurance and perseverance. And so when the worst that life can throw at us, the worst that sin and the devil can throw at us in this fallen world, that's actually when the rubber hits the road for us. And so we have to stand firm, and we have to trust that. Someone said to me, you know, in the weeks afterwards, he said, God trusts you to be faithful in spite of this tragic event. And it's like, wow, God doesn't expect me to fall and fail at this point. God expects me and will equip me to stand firm. He trusts me to be faithful in spite of this grief. And I think that, again, changes our perspective on it, doesn't it? To say that God actually believes that we can stand firm because he's given us Holy Spirit. He's given us the example of Christ. And he is calling us to be a faithful witness in this world, no matter what the world can throw it off. So I felt that very strongly, that we're called to persevere. Yes, it doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't make it easy. It's not pie in the sky till we die. It is tough. But in that is where God can meet us and strengthen us to stand and to keep on standing.
Tim, we've got 1 minute left. I just want to ask you quickly. You mentioned that grief is an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. And you have to work through it maybe for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you, but isn't grace also an ongoing process?
Yeah.
And also always part of our lives.
Absolutely. And it's such a great point that, you know, I think grief illuminates elements of grace that we maybe would not experience in the same way. But grace, you know, we've got to learn that grace brings joy into our life. And joy illuminates elements of grace. And so it is. It's the thread. It's the constant thread. Through our lives.
But grief and grace runs hand in hand. Mm. If you look at the cross, if there wasn't grief, how could there be grace?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's so interesting how these things run together. And sometimes we just want to have the one side of the coin, like you said.
Yeah.
But it's a package. We must be able to handle them both.
Yeah.
And accept it, both sides. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's Rick Warren who said it's like two parallel tracks of the railway line. He uses different language, but it's the same essence. You know, grief and grace. They're the parallel tracks, and through everything, it's guiding us into more understanding of the gospel and a greater understanding of our Savior and of God's love for us.
Tim, I really appreciate your time. Thanks that you came to share your story with us and that we can learn through your experience that the answer is to stand firm in your faith and to hold on to the Lord and don't try to be upset with Him for what happened, because He knows best. He's in control. He's sovereign. It was great listening to you once again. Thanks for your passion. Thanks for what you are doing also in your ministry. And thanks for sharing it with us in such an understanding way.
Yeah.
And in such a loving and humble way. We really appreciate.
Thanks, Han. And if anyone wants to see the video series, just go to YouTube and type in Grief and Grace and it will come up. And then there's links for the books and other materials on there as well.
Yeah, that's what I want to say. Tim is so humble, but you can also buy his book about the story Grief and Grace. You can just go to the Message Trust website, or even just go type in Tim Tucker. He's so well known on Facebook. He pops up number one. dit was lekker met julle te gesels hier at die Radio Kaapse Kansel se atelier. As julle meer wil weet van Tim Tucker en The Message Trust, soos ek gesê het, julle kan gerus gaan Google daarso, of kontak ons ook by CBMC, admin@cbmc.co.za, as julle meer van CBMC wil weet, of enige navraag het oor ons programme. Tot volgende keer, tot ziens.
Hierdie insetsel is aan jou gebring deur Radio Kaapse Kansel op 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus op www.kaapsekansel.co.za.